Let us look to the Lord for a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful love that has been bestowed upon us. We thank Thee for the man that made it possible, the God-man. Very man and very God. Unique, the only person in the universe like Himself. And that He's the creator of all things. All things were made by Him and for Him. We thank Thee for the Word that Thou hast given to us, that we might study and learn thereby. Think of the Old Testament saints. They didn't have anything like this. But we, no matter what the trouble or where we're at, we have the book with us. The answer's there. And our God is our all in all. Now, if we go into Thy Word this evening, we ask that Thou wouldst open our spiritual eyes and hearts and minds, that we might observe and learn wondrous truths out of Thy Word, and other truths that would be brought again to our minds. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Beginning with the first verse. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, actually ended, the word ended should not be there. It's not in the original. The supper was actually still going on. If you remember, as we get down farther, that the Lord gave Judas the sop, and that is part of the supper. That's the Passover supper. So we might be wise to take that word out of there, because it looks like that started and the other is taking place. Not so. And supper being, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not except to wash his feet, but is entirely clean. And ye are clean, but not all of you. For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore said He, Ye are not all clean. So after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was seated again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now we'll go on farther if we get that far. May the Lord bless the reading thus far. Now before the feast of the Passover, the first verse, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto His Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them unto the end. As God, He knew exactly what the hour was to begin with. In verse 2, the supper being, in other words, the supper was still going on. The devil having entered now into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from the Father and went to God, or what come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Now this was the common practice. When you went to someone's home, the servants washed your feet. And evidently none of these men thought that they were servants. The servant of servants, God's mighty, perfect servant, did the washing. They've been washed. The washing of the feet, as they travel through the day, they contact the soil. They didn't have paved streets like we got. They didn't have shoes like we have. Now, I can't say that really, because a lot of these women and boys, too, are wearing these flip-flops, or whatever you call them. And you're bound to get dirt on your feet. But if they're dirt roads, you're going to get that much more dirt on them. And for those that have ever worked in the fields or construction, you're out there working all day, your feet get tired in the heat. And what a relief to just have cool water put on your feet. This is what the Lord was doing. But the picture, we get down to verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now. Why didn't he? He saw what he was doing. He didn't realize it was a picture or a type. But thou shalt know hereafter. Now, some people, some groups still wash feet. Nothing wrong with it. The Lord did it. But a lot of them don't realize what the type is either. And the type is far more important than the actual washing. You want to wash feet? Fine, no problem with it. Let us look at Titus. Most of us should be able to quote this. Titus, the 3rd chapter, the 5th verse. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, that's the whole being, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. And then turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Latter part of 25. The church, and gave himself for it, as Christ. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What's the water then? The water's the word. If we read the word of God daily, that is a washing. The Holy Spirit uses it as a spiritual washing, cleaning our minds and hearts of the things that we come in contact with. Verses 3 through 5, we find the sovereign of the universe takes the place of a slave. Not only the sovereign, he was the very creator. John 1:14, I think most of us should be able to quote that as well. Some can't, so let us read it. And the Word, that is the Lord, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No other man ever set foot on this earth as full of grace and truth as he was. There was a I've got an article, some of you have heard it, of the description of Christ as to this physical being. He was quite a striking man. It mentions how poor he looked, but you know, that took place at the cross. He was literally mutilated to the point of not even being recognizable as a human being. And then, Philippians. The 2nd chapter, verse 8. Well, let's go to verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, that would be the servant, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He literally was not obedient to the cross or the death of the cross. He was obedient to his Father. It was the Father's will that he die for you and me. It was the Father's will that he would die on the cross, the most terrible death ever devised by human beings. Some people have been known to live as long as 22 days before expiring. In some circles, the word cross, even in the Roman circles, was never to even be mentioned in polite society. It was so terrible. This in itself should have been an amazement, and it was to the Roman centurion that stood at the foot of the cross. He said, surely this was the Son of God, or a God. He was a pagan, remember. He knew this wasn't the average man. Which one of you can dismiss your spirit? I don't mean taking a gun and blowing your brains out. That's self-murder. Only God could do it. And it was only a matter of total of 6 hours. 3 hours he was brutalized at the hands of his creatures. The last 3 hours at the hand of God. When you stop and think of it, somehow, even as God the Son, he was putting wrath over himself. Because the Godhead, everything that is done, the Godhead was in perfect agreement. And here was God the Son, the creator of all things, who became man that you and I might have salvation, that he might die for us, that he might be our substitute. And there on those total of six hours, those last 3 hours, so terrible, God did not let mankind see what was going on. And it didn't say that it was just a certain area that the earth was darkened. It said the world was darkened. And it is recorded in China that there was an unusual darkness. God just turned the lights out. He didn't let nature see what was taking place. And I believe this. Some think that when the cross was dropped into the socket, it dislocated all the joints, but I don't believe that. Or that would be the case of everyone else that was crucified. That would be common to everyone. I believe that your judgment and my judgment, when it was placed upon the Lord, it was so terrible, the physical writhing on that cross ripped all of his joints apart. Not a bone of him would be broken, but it said all of the bones would be out of joint. That's for you and me. But you got to remember, we could never pay the penalty that was due us in eternity in hell. And he paid for sin of the world, all of them, in a total of 6 hours. And then he has been our sacrifice at hand. John, the 7th chapter. John 7. I don't even know which way to go anymore. John 7 and verse 30. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. You remember there were two instances that we see very plainly what was taking place. And one time they were going to throw them over a brow of a cliff. That was at Nazareth, if I'm not mistaken. And he just passed through them. Then we see another case, they were going to stone him. And he just passed through them. And I believe that when Judas betrayed him, of course it was treachery, but he thought the Lord was going to do the same thing again. He would get the money. He was a lover of money. He'd get the money, and the Lord would pass away through them. But that was the time the Lord was to die. When he saw what the Lord was going through, he went back and he cast the money at their feet. He didn't want it. Too late. And he committed suicide on top of that. And then the second chapter of John, in the fourth verse, Jesus saith unto her, that's his mother, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. The Lord Jesus knew when his hour was. He knew when it was time for him to go to Mount Moriah, to Calvary. And then in the 12th chapter of John again, John 12, verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Robbie used this, I think, this morning when he was speaking. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, we won't be reading it today, but remember what Galileo told them when they were laying their hands on the disciples? He told them not to touch these men. Because he mentioned two other groups that were false groups. And they ultimately were destroyed and gone. He said, if this is of God, though, you'll be fighting God. They've been fighting God for 2,000 years now. If we had been like those other groups, we'd have been gone. But the Christians, there will be more saints in heaven than there will be in hell. It's hard to think of. You look round about us and we see more people that are going to hell than are trusting Christ. Yes, but what about all half of the babies born into the world die? The Lord has half of the souls before ever they get to any age at all. And then chapter 17. And the very first verse. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, those that have trusted Christ as Savior. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Which one of us can say we finished the work? We may finish little parts of work, but Christ is the only one that finished the job that God gave him to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before creation. We've mentioned it before about Abraham and Isaac. It said, and they too went together twice over. It's a picture of God the Father and God the Son. From a past eternity, before the world was ever created, wending their way ultimately to Calvary. God wasn't surprised with what Adam was going to do. He knew full well what Adam would do. He had the answer for it. It wasn't like he was surprised and all of a sudden he had to snatch at something. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And ultimately his Son would be glorified to a higher extent. And himself along with it. The hour to which all prophets point. The consummation of the ages. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 26. For For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. My brother mentioned that this morning, the Church of Rome. Every time the Mass is presented, they crucify Christ afresh, as though he was literally being sacrificed when that Mass was taking place. But God said, what? Once. Never to be done again. The Feast of the Passover. He was the antitype. What were the thoughts of the traitor in the midst? You think he looked the Lord in the eye? You ever stop to think of that? Judas, and he knew the Lord mentioned that the traitor was amongst them, the one that would betray him. And they supposedly all asked if they were the one. In fact, Judas did it as well. But did Judas look him in the eye when he asked the question? I dare say he didn't. God knew his heart. He knew his heart before he was ever born. He didn't make him do that. God's foreknowledge, he knew what Judas would do. He knew what every one of us would do. The ceaseless love for his own. John 17. Bible here is getting a little dilapidated, like myself. John 17, the 12th verse. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's the only reason he was allowed in amongst the 12. God knew his heart from the beginning. And then in the 15th chapter, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And then Revelation, first chapter. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. And then we find in Leviticus as well, where is the life? The life is in the blood. We just mentioned this a little earlier. By the bath, we are cleansed all over. By the basin, we're kept clean with our hands and our feet. The priest had to go every time he had the major washing, and then from then on he washed his hands, or his feet, or both. Have you ever noticed as you read the New Testament that no lover of the Lord ever addressed him by his proper name? Did you ever notice that? I hear a lot of people doing it today, and some of them claim to be the Lord's. No one said, now you can understand some of this in songs because a songwriter has a certain leeway that you don't otherwise. Lovely Jesus, sweet Jesus, baby Jesus. You never heard any of the disciples or anyone else saying such a word. It's the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. the King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You go down and say that to the mayor here in Richmond. And I know he would be tickled to death. Say, what's his name? Wilder? Dougie. Baby Dougie. Yeah. That'd go over big. Same thing with the president. Same thing with the Queen of England. Let alone the King of the Universe, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'd like to turn to Daniel, the 5th chapter. Daniel 5. Third verse. Well, I'll go to the 22nd verse. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He knew all about Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather. He knew how God had humbled him. Nebuchadnezzar, probably the greatest king that ever lived. The most powerful monarch that ever lived. The next group that came along with them, there were two together. As you come down, each time they get, their power gets split up. Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of the known world at the time. His very wish was law. So he knew all about his grandfather. He knew all about what the Lord had done to him, humbled him on his hands and feet, or knees rather, like an animal eating grass for what, 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. And how, which way does an animal look most of the time? Looks down. Deer hunters know that. You can get up on a tree, maybe 8-10 feet off the ground. Deer's not going to look up and look at you unless you make a noise or something and draw his attention. They're always looking down. But the moment Nebuchadnezzar looked up, the picture of him looking to God, God gave him his reason back. And he became a greater king than he was before. But he gave the glory to God. Let's go on with that. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heavens, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine from them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Let's go on just a little bit more with this. This is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put the chain of gold about his neck and made proclamation concerning him that she should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. The Medes and the Persians were probably all already in the city of Babylon. The walls of Babylon were over 300 feet in the air. 80 feet into the ground. And of course, you know, the bottom's normally got to be wider than the top. But at the top, 6 chariots could race abreast around the top of the wall. Today, with our modern warfare, we'd have an awful time trying to smash through it. Of course, with the planes and bombs, we could go over it. Then you go inside, and there's another wall. Between those two walls is all their farmland. And of course, the river went right through the middle of the city. They had all the water they needed. And they had iron grates that they let down. into the waters so that you couldn't get in that way. But evidently someone was drunk that night. They were all partying. They forgot to let the big gates down into the water. And the Medes and the Persians, while all of this kind of stuff was going on, and no telling how far back, they were getting a new canal built. And at the right time, they just opened it, and the Euphrates River went a different direction. And the Medes and the Persians marched silently right down through the center, into the center of the city. And if nothing else, the shock of the enemy breaking through would certainly set you back. How did they get in here? But Daniel told him, you're through. You wanted to mock God? You pay the price. You don't mock God. And there's a big shame about our own country. Years ago, even those that weren't Christians believed the Bible was the Word of God. Very few that didn't believe it. And they believed there was a God in heaven, and most of them believed about the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not being saved. But they showed respect. This man didn't even show respect. None at all. But we've got many in our own country that are the same way today. And we see our country on the slide already. And it's getting to the point that overnight everything could change. And we've got many men and women in this country that have one God, money, and they're selling their nation down the river as a result. Praise God for everyone that has trusted Christ as Savior, though. We're not very far from the Lord's time of taking the church, snatching us away. Zip, we're going to be with Him. Might be done before we leave here tonight. That's how we should be looking at it. Every moment, every second of the day, the Lord could come and take us. What are we doing those seconds? What are we thinking? What are we saying? Where are we at? Are these the things that the Lord would want? When He comes back, seeing us like this, but mind you, He sees us now. He's here. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Plus the Holy Spirit, we're what? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. Now we may not leave much room to control us like we should, but He still indwells us. He knows. Everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, it should be done to the glory of God. We've got a whole lot more we could go over, but time's about run out. Let us close in a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful love that has been bestowed upon mankind. And even for those that are saved, we know our weaknesses, our shortcomings, and the sin that doth so easily beset. All have something, if not many things. But we have been admonished to confess them. And the smartest thing for us to do would be to confess them immediately, so that the communications between our Heavenly Father and ourselves would not be broken. That we might stay close to Himself. We'd like to see a change in our own country and the world too, if possible. But we know the Scripture doesn't point to that. But our primary purpose is to stand up for our Lord Jesus Christ and the truths of His precious Word. We think of those that were mentioned as to illness, some of them very seriously, Father. We ask of us Thy mind and will that they might soon be raised up. And then some that aren't saved as well. The very illnesses might be used to awaken them to how quickly they could be taken out of this scene. And if I'm saved, to a lost eternity, that they might come to know Christ Jesus as their personal Savior. for all of us that know Christ the Savior, that as we read thy word, we might be drawn closer to himself, that we might be conformed like unto himself, that others might see Christ in us. Now we ask that thou wouldst be with us, take us all to our several homes in safety. If our Lord be not come and to take us to be with himself, guide and direct and watch our every step throughout the week. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.